No, I don't talk to the guys. I don't talk to kickers very much. Just tell them to make it.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Why did that just, Evan, that was so Suge Knight. I don't talk to kickers. Like, that's a little strong for me, man.
Don't we know that about Kyle Shanahan?
That dude, man, he can make or break you, Kyle. I get it, but damn.
I thought that was the whole thing, though, last year. Like, the Niners had one of the worst special teams units in football last year, not just because of Jake Moody. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, punt coverages, kick coverages, all the rest. Kyle Shanahan doesn't care about special teams unless he absolutely has to.
Well, you better, because that could get you ran. They play a big part in longevity in regard to being a head coach. And I got to say this, not to bring up bad memories, but, you know, last year when Ricky Pearsall got, you know, that stuff happened to him out here in the Bay, the robbery. The team was having a function, I believe, at Kyle's house. I got to believe Jake Moody was invited, because when you hear that, Evan, it's like, are kickers invited to the gig? It's like, damn, Kyle.
Some of them.
I don't talk to the kickers.
Not all of them. 888-957-9570. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz with Daryl the Guru Johnson. Boxer and Gerson, work injury attorneys, text line 651. Hey, Goo, you're bragging on Genty.
Yeah, you got to get through that.
Brag on Bethune for laying the lumber.
Because he did. He popped
Tatum
him.
Bethune.
Hey, he got a steal. He had to go out the game. I was like, uh-oh, week one in jeopardy for Genty. But he popped him.
Dude,
he popped
that
him.
That was a car crash.
No doubt.
Why are you doing that in the preseason, though? I mean, I guess I'm
they're football
I
players.
I had their football
yeah.
players, but you don't have to lead with the crown on every
yeah,
season.
Yeah, he was. Dude, youngster, you're tripping. But he did truck Lenore. The guy goes, are we going to mention that? We started that. I did.
Yeah, hey, Emmett. These games don't count.
Now, that was Marcus Allen's road you're coming down. The balance of Barry.
You cannot say
and the
that
power
you cannot
of
compare
Emmett.
To someone to Barry Sanders.
Yeah, we'll see.
Good Lord.
And McCaffrey, I can't wait, but it'll be week one before we see the Rari come out the garage. I get it.
951. Evan, you have as much street cred as NFL kickers. Vinatieri. That's how much street cred I got.
And you got more street cred because I just saw a video of the party from an unnamed source. It was cranking.
Yeah, there were libations getting deleted left and right. Let's go to Mark in the city. Mark, what's going on, man? Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. And Evan, as a fellow Leo, happy birthday to you.
Oh, my dog.
Now, fellas, what you also got to realize as far as the kicking situation here in San Francisco during the training camp, because the Niners were thin at wide receiver, they had to let go some of the kickers that were supposed to challenge Moody in the preseason. But that also tells me that they have enough confidence in Moody this year going forward that they don't need to challenge him, because it was more pressing to find wide receivers right now than to find kickers. And since it's his third year, I really expect Moody to really, really hone in on his craft, because it takes sometimes, especially if you have a niche type position, it takes a couple of years to get your footing, no pun intended, down before, you know, you can get stable and solid. And I think the 49ers see that Moody this year, and hopefully we'll be able to see the same.
Thanks, Mark. Yeah. Appreciate the call. Good one, too.
Yeah, and no doubt, nobody's met. I just, you know, I sat there Saturday like, man, just, and again, how many times have I said it, I need to stay off social media. I can't. I'm addicted. Everybody is. Denzel will tell you different, but bottom line.
We got your movie review coming up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
At some point, later in the show.
I don't want to give anything away, but yeah, it's a review. Yeah, it's a review. Yeah, I'll let you know how it is, because we do it. You and I have a movie club trying to take it to the podcast realm.
Oh, yeah.
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 And we'll get to it. But the bottom line is,
we're working on sponsors.
These dudes have there's no love for kickers. And like you said, they make them, you take them for granted. And then when you miss them, you want this dude ran. And where he was drafted 2 years in, going in his third year, I think he's fine. I really do, man.
But Mark brings up a good point, though, is one of the reasons he doesn't have competition is because they needed the roster spot, because they're getting banged up left and right.
This is getting out of control.
Well, they had 27 injuries going into the game, and then Pooney gets hit with a PCL, Kiner a high ankle sprain, and Taylor dislocates his shoulder. They're all multi-week injuries.
Damn.
and that's going to push them up to the beginning of the regular season. Yeah, the Niners are a pretty banged up squad, and I agree. My point is, I think for most kickers who don't have some sort of, for lack of better terms, no pun intended, footing with the respective teams, they generally, their seat is hotter than other positions because they are replaceable. You know, Greg Joseph is a veteran and could step in and I think do a serviceable job.
You didn't even think that. You thought that was just dog and pony show, him coming in. Like, you don't think he was a threat.
No, I think he was a threat until, to Mark's point, they needed the roster spot. I don't think the Niners have the greatest confidence in Jake Moody. Yesterday may have been a great step in the right direction for him because, you know, that like you want your guy to hit those kinds of kicks in the regular season. But I don't think they look at him like, you know, again, Kyle Shanahan looked at the rest of his kickers prior to Moody.
And you might say, "Goo, it doesn't count," but it does. The fans are down on him. I can look you in the eye. I feel like I got to step up for the youngster, but they are down on him. And I'll say this. See, I know I have a funny romanticism of how sports work. And if I was Bob Melvin or Steve Kerr, what I would sit down and say to you or Kenny, but I would have a conversation with my kicker. So when I hear Kyle say, "I don't talk to him much," I do wonder, and again, it's just a dude from Union City talking to Evan, I do wonder if that may be some of the problem. Like, you want to chop it up with the young kid. You know what I'm saying? Good or bad, but to have him kind of in what I deem from that soundbite, isolation, it's always good talking to the boss. Like, when I talk to the boss, you feel better or worse about things, but you know it's true blue that, you know, nothing is being there to be festered, and that's where stuff grows, and then you get animosity or resentment or whatnot. But I don't know, Kyle, that was a little strong for me. Like, he's part of the team, chop it up with him.
You mean this one?
No, I don't talk to the guys. I don't talk to kickers very much. Just tell them to make it.
Hey, Kyle.
Bring me my money. That's what that is. Bring me my money. I don't want to hear no excuses, Evan.
Yeah, Kyle, is Jake Moody, you guys wined and dined, chatted, taken a relationship taken off?
No, I don't talk to the guys. I don't talk to kickers very much. Just tell them to make it.
So I can tell you this, you guys. Joe Lacob took Kuminga to the Valkyrie game. It's fair to say Moody would not be Kyle's date to the Valkyrie game. It don't sound like it.
Nor Jed York's. Man. Jake Moody's here to make kicks.
Free
That's
Moody,
about
man.
It.
Free Moody. I hope he has a good year, and they may need him. They're
well,
going to
well,
need him.
You don't
him.
Want a free Moody, man. Then. You want to lock him up.
No, yeah, just free Moody from the assaulted social. Yeah, all the Haiti.
But and that's look, I've probably sounded I don't know critical of Jake Moody, but that's kind of my takeaway from the weekend is a guy hits 5 of 6 kicks, and he can't win. He just can't. I think that there are people who are just simply waiting for Jake Moody to fail at some point in the regular season and say, "I told you so." Mm. That's what I felt, that the kind of energy that I felt from a lot of people listening to Overtime with Grandy and Bennett on
Sterling
on Saturday. And a lot of people, you know, that have come in this morning. And maybe it's not waiting on him to fail, but just there's still doubts about it. And honestly, I think those doubts are applicable to a lot of positions or players on the 49ers.
Because to be honest, and I know this is going to sound ludicrous, shout out Atlanta, ATL.
He was great at outside lands, by the way.
Man, was he?
Yeah, he was incredible.
Yeah, Luda's, he's one of those dudes. But I'll say this to that, Evan. What if I inserted Brock Purdy? There are some people out there that are not sold on Brock Purdy, but at this point, after he got the Benjamins, it doesn't matter because he's not going anywhere. I feel that way with Brock Purdy. I feel like he's at a point to where he could change the narrative with a more, and I'm not being unrealistic, he's got to make every kick, but with a more consistent year, he can turn into being one of those guys that you talked about on the other side for the Raiders, where you just feel like before he kicks the ball, it's going through the upright.
But
it's got to start somewhere, and I agree with you.
How long is it going to take to get there?
And there we
though.
Go. Yeah. Well, I'll say this, when you were drafted where he was at, doesn't that buy you a little more time? And I'd call that CNN, the politics of it.
But that's why we're having the conversation is because I think a big reason why he is still here or why his job is as secure as it looks is because of his draft status. It's not because of what he's done in the NFL. You know, and also, he was hurt a lot last year, too, and dealt with some inconsistencies before. Missed a big kick in the Rams game that cost the Niners early. then dealt with injury, bounced back, and Carter helped me. I stand corrected. His game winner last year came against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I
think was that the one they tried to give away in Tampa?
Well, yeah, that was the one. I think he also had a miss in that game too. Okay. You know, but it's
Sunday morning.
But he hit the one that counted. You know, but that's not the feeling that you want when you see your kicker walking out to the field of, well, maybe.
Well, I'll tell you this, partner. It's what they signed up for. So I'll tell you what, they're going to come for Kyle. Like you said, they're not coming for Jake once it's real and it starts in Seattle in the afternoon, Evan, because now that'll be something on his ledger and John's. If this thing doesn't work out and he's costing them games, I mean, it's going to be hell to pay from the fan base in regard to why did you not do something and why did you let this continue. But, Ev, I got to just say this. Hearing that clip from Shanny, if I'm the captain of the ship, what if I told you and what do you give me? I just don't like the James T. Kirk, you know, the captain of the Star Trek Enterprise. I don't like him saying I don't talk to a certain component of his team much.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. Well, I'm glad you said that, Goob.
Yeah, I don't like that. The more I think about it, it's just me.
Well, let's just check in. Hey, Kyle, why don't you talk to kickers?
I don't discriminate versus anyone, but there's not a lot to talk to them about. They need to kick it between those two uprights, and if they want to talk more, that's fine. I'll do whatever they want, but I don't pretend like I'm doing something when I'm talking to the kicker, so I let them try to. I don't like everyone going up to them either. I'd like them to just stay mentally clear, lock into their job, and get it done.
But what about the confidence in the mental game and the Phil Jackson and the Steve Kerr part of the component of your relationship with your kicker?
Well, that's Kyle, why you have a special teams coordinator.
He's treating him like, I don't know what word, not a dog, but what word? You got to talk to, he's human, Kyle.
Well, I think football is a lot different than football or baseball, basketball and baseball. There's 53 guys on the team. I think it's impossible in football to have a relationship with every player on your roster.
All right, wow. I hadn't thought of it that way. I think that's just a mandate.
Well, but your kicker is, what, if there's 11 guys on special teams, and some guys play both, you know, defense and special teams, offense special teams, but you got 22 starters, let's say, you know, five or six carry over plus the kicker. Kyle Shanahan's supposed to have a relationship with almost 30 different players?
Well, not like his wife relationship, and I know that's strong. It's an investment of time. But I'll say this, E, and again, it's just me, and you can say, Goo, you're coming from the Disney Channel. But, Evan, I get chills when I watch football coaches. Before the game and even at practice, they're all laid out like cattle, and that coach is taking a walk just saying, Ev, how you doing? Then he'll go to the neck. Like, that stuff matters to me, and I just feel like Jay Moody ain't getting none of that from Kyle. Like, come on, bro. You know, chop it up with him, and, you know, if he's struggling, and again, I'm speaking on something that I may not know. But I'm hearing the coach. It's coming from the horse's mouth. It's like, I think that stuff matters, and I would find time to talk to a big component of my team. Just how you doing? How's the fam? You good? Anything I can do for you? But having not a relationship to where I'm on the phone with you, sending you 20 texts, I get that times 53. But Evan, my kicker and I are going to have a relationship. And it might be, not the prettiest one, but there's got to be, come to me. What can I do for you?
I'm kind of with Kyle on this one. Now, you need to have a relationship with your special teams unit because, you know, you might need to know an overtime rule in the Super Bowl.
Well, look, that's a five.
To kind of help them out. But in general, I don't think that a head coach needs to know his kicker. And if he does, it's because that kicker's been a part of the franchise for a long time. Jake Moody's, like, with all due respect, what has Jake Moody proved yet? Okay, you want him to prop him up? Here he is.
Yeah, I think going 4 for 5 and hitting a 59-yarder and a 50-yarder and the game winner from 59, I think that was a hell of a day for him. So I thought he kicked his ass off and gives us a lot of confidence.
Propped him up, gave him a lot of confidence.
Evan, why does it hit different now? I heard the other kid looked at me like rolling, and I'm rolling him back like, I get it. I won't come at you, Kyle, but easy to kind of say. I mean, man, what if you miss 4 or 5? Well, you probably get ran then, but man.
I don't think he would. Wow. There's nobody to challenge him. Jake Moody's the Niners kicker, whether they like it or not.
Yeah. You see, when he got hurt last year, they had guys come in and you know, try to get the job. But
I think they actually had Carlson's brother.
Man.
Is it Anders?
Guys come out the woodwork.
Anders Carlson. Yeah, well, that's Greg Joseph is going to be on line one if at any point Jake Moody doesn't kick well or perhaps gets hurt.
Can I read this to you, Evan?
Of course.
It's from Ryan on the YouTube chat. This hurts. Guru with his brain-dead references. It doesn't make you sound cool. I've never once used a reference to try to sound cool. But I guess, Evan, what bothers me is the brain-dead part. I said Luda in the ATL. All right, let's keep going. I'm sorry, I'm being sensitive.
No, you don't.
Well, Ralph Trasman on line one. Former singer, New Edition, sensitivity.
This exact moment
the brain dead,
is what I don't want happening to Jake Moody, which is you have
Stay
a great
off
day,
Twitter.
You have a awesome game-winning kick, and the first thing you read tomorrow is, well, go out and prove it in the regular season.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. Brain dead's a little strong, Ryan. Come on, buddy.
Oh, man.
We can be more creative than that. 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz with Daryl the Guru Johnson. You know, okay. So you said something along the lines of like, well, the big celebration for Moody is a little much.
Yeah, and I kind of want to run it back, but I'm not.
No, you're right. It is. The entire team does not need to rush the field
Fred
like it's
Warner's
the end of the Super Bowl. Which, ironically, was also at Allegiant Stadium, and that sucked that they didn't win there. There wasn't any confetti coming down. It's a preseason kick. But they did that because they felt like he needed it. Meanwhile, on Sunday, the Giants get a 7-1 win. And the boss actually surprised me with this
one. Okay, tell us.
So there's 38,000. They're still drawing real well at Oracle Park. And they're cheering, and they are a standing ovation for their team that just snapped a six-game skid and has won two out of the last 16 in Oracle Park.
Yikes.
And the boss goes, effectively, what are you cheering for? Now, are these signs of desperation? That's my question. That 38,000 are up cheering and the Niners are rushing the field for a preseason game-winning kick. Or are they just, I mean, do you like it or do you not?
Oh, I love it. And I don't think it was sarcastic. I think the Giant fans have had blue balls for, what did you say, 2-14 in the last six?
On the heels of brain dead references,
yeah,
I don't know if that's the one you want to
watch. Yeah, my bad.
Yeah, flag on the play.
I will, Stephen A. But, you know, they've been waiting. I mean, the stuff still costs. Parking is what it is. And I believe those cheers were authentic. They're like, damn, finally. And you saw some power, some home runs. So, Evan, I looked at that like, were they supposed to boo? Because we've heard that when things were not cool. So I looked at that yesterday like, those are diehard Giant fans. And, Evan, my goodness, they've been waiting forever and a day. 2-14 in their last 16 at the yard, at home. So I don't know how you took it. Please help me. But I took that as like, finally, you hit a note right. Yeah, let's get up and applaud. So that's how I looked at that.
But I think the boss is coming at it from a standpoint of, and I actually kind of get it, of like, that's how bad it's gotten.
You know, yeah, it's gotten that bad. I would tell Evan, we can't sugarcoat it. It's gotten that bad. It's gotten worse than that bad.
Especially on the heels of the night before. You got a one-run lead. Verlander's cruising through seven.
What's he feeling like?
I don't care what Justin Verlander
You're right, because how much can he really be mad when he stunk a majority of, and now you're doing well and you're not getting any support? But that shocked me Saturday. Eighth inning comeback.
Well, but again, I think it's a reflection of the two individual situations. Sorry. We're talking about Jake Moody, who's, you know, just been tossed around like a pinata by media fans. I think the fan base is
I just pictured a party in the pinata. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Might have been one on Saturday.
Yeah.
And then on Sunday, the Giants, who have just been beaten over the head and clubbed like a baby Lucille, we're finally giving them some credit. And it's like, even that's not really good enough. You know, what have they earned a standing O after a homestand that has just been crickets?
But isn't it just about the experience of that Sunday afternoon, bonded with your friends or family, you're at the yard? Like, doesn't that constitute, we can applaud you if you ball out, and you guys did that. You haven't done it a lot. But since I'm here, Evan, and tomorrow's Monday. I want to enjoy my Sunday, and the Giants made it better, and you're doing something with the sticks and Webb on the mound. Like, I would expect nothing else. Like, I like that.
Well, look, I mean, every time your team plays well, you certainly want to support them, and I get that. But I think the larger point was it's just a sign of where these two situations are.
Was that sarcasm to you, Evan? If somebody said, let's say you don't even believe that, if Kenny said, I think that was sarcasm from the fans, would you say that's fair, or there's some validity to that?
I don't think it's sarcasm. I think fans are generally, I think most people want to be supportive of their teams. But I also understand that there's hesitance, or there should be hesitance. Like, I think it's fascinating that Jake Moody makes 5 of 6 and hits a 59-yard game-winning kick.
4 or 5.
Either way, he missed one.
Oh, 5 of 6. Yeah. I thought it was 4 or 5.
No, he made 5 of 6. Now, he almost missed one from 26, but that's neither here nor there.
All right.
Fact is, he made all but one, and the large response, I think, for people, the majority of people are saying, okay.
Because they've been done with them, and that's what I think is unfair. You're right.
I mean, go out and do it in the regular season.
That I get. That I get, and that's why I guess I'm lightweight, like, hating on the celebration, because it wasn't week 1 or week 8.
And the response from the Giants on Monday is, all right, fine, like, cool, you won a game.
All right, let me ask you this. Do the Niners have a field goal kicker issue?
More than other teams.
Ken?
Yeah, I would say so.
Wow, and it's not even week 1.
Yeah, but that's the point, is it yesterday, or sorry, Saturday doesn't change their kicking situation.
I'm just hoping upstairs it does, E, for him, mentally.
I'm with you. But what happens the moment he misses a kick?
He's going to get another shot.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, no doubt. He's going to get he can miss two. He's going to get another shot, but it's two things you're asking me. The team, his job's not in jeopardy unless he got all the way raggedy. But as far as the fan base, let's just say he misses 2 of his first 5 attempts, E. They don't even have to be game winners. I think it'll be just an uphill battle. He'll probably never win.
So if we are talking about job security, because I think we had this conversation a couple weeks ago. Like, I think that most athletes are motivated primarily by job security.
Damn.
AKA how much money they're going to make or not make and what their spot on the team is. Out of all the players on the San Francisco 49ers, who has the most, or I should say the least, job security?
It would be Jake Moody.
That's my point. Right. He's somebody that could lose his job midway through the season. And you know what? I would understand. And that sucks. I'm not asking for that to happen. But he's somebody that enters into the season with a lot of eyes and pressure on him. That, to me, is exactly the reason why everyone rushed the field. Because they understand. Right. The team gets it. And they also know that they need him, too, to their credit. But that's why the fussle is there. Because Fred Warner, Nick Bosa said he's paying attention to the kicking competition. Nick Bosa isn't paying attention to anything besides opposing quarterbacks.
His warm-up before the game. Dude looks like Conan, man. Like, get out the dude is stacked, man.
He's a big boy, and if he could give his right quad to Jake Moody, he might want to do it.
Evan, I'm just getting to the age when I watch I got to be careful here. When I watch sports and dudes rip with muscles just busting everywhere, and as I'm getting older, Wilton, and I'm watching my wife watching the game, I'm like, do you want to trade that in for that? I'm getting to that point. So enjoy your 30s, man.
Well, you still look good.
No, it ain't about that. I'm not that.
Yeah,
dude looked like Conan. I'm like, man. Like, just, I'm saying what men think and that don't want to say into the microphone. Evan, the thought has to cross your mind, man.
But when
if Mia could, come on, man. Who don't want to go to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm with you.
I went to the gym after the game, man.
I'm
turning
31 today, and I'm trying to keep it as long as I can. I appreciate that. But when I'm your age, and I'm not going to say how old you are, I don't expect to still have my, you know, I'm not in my prime anymore.
I got shoulders, but I ain't that. I used to think I was that, though. E, that's half the battle.
Well, you were, and now you're not.
My muscles, I'm like, damn.
You're better in other ways, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You still got the waves. Even though that's out of your control, that's not something that you can control.
I want muscles, E. That dude should return his muscles.
All right. That segment was brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. This Labor Day weekend, be road trip ready with Valvoline Instant Oil Change. No appointment needed. Stay in your car while they change your oil and check your tires, battery, and fluids. Before you head down the coast or over the Golden Gate, visit BarriaOilChange.com. 888-957-9570. Evan in for Steiny. Giddings and Guru. We're back after this.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Giddings in for Steinmetz with Guru. And I'm with another Daryl.
Strawberry.
Daryl Anthony Harper in the YouTube chat.
What a name.
Quit comparing yourself to other people. Social media is not the mirror you want to use.
I do like that. It's bigger than that. I've always loved athletics, and I've always stayed fit because I felt like I wanted to model not just my game. Obviously, I couldn't hit that, Kenny and Evan, but I wanted to stay fit. But as you get older and people are like, you went at me last week, that's why she was looking at those muscles. That's neither here nor there. But the bottom line, Evan, is I ain't hating. I got body envy. Like Terrell Owens, no receiver ever, well, couple, but that dude was chiseled, man. And you just salute. I ain't jocking.
Well, but I'm sure his six-pack isn't as, carved as it used to be. It might be. I don't really know. He's in great shape.
Yeah.
Should use him as a role model.
You're funny, man. What? You're funny off the air than you are on the air. And you're funny on the air, but you are something else.
Yeah. Well, it's I never know if what I'm allowed to talk about is air appropriate. What I think is, because it's a great day for everybody.
Happy birthday to you again.
Appreciate it. I'm getting a little older. But you had a situation rectified that last week had you down in the dumps.
Man. Kenny, if you guys would have saw me at the cafeteria when I'd gotten somebody had gotten to my Apple Pay and took some funds, and then I, like a dumbass, called the wrong number thinking it was Apple support, and dude wanted me to send him 500 more bucks, and I was a second away from hitting send. I said, what's your address? Anyway, that all got rectified. I got the text, so your boy's back. And I got you for a soda after this show for your birthday.
That's what
Let's
I want to hear.
Nuts. Yeah.
I'm with the 650. My six-pack is... It's a keg now.
Nah, you got Evan.
I don't
come
know about
on
a
now.
Keg.
I see you in shirts, man. Anytime you could tuck it in and ain't no gut, you got it going on, man.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep a hold of that. Trying to let that go. All right, Goo. You know, again, the importance of management and some of these decisions. You know, I do wonder if just how much we look at them, and I don't know if we're allowed to if. If people just kind of gloss over it because, you know, we focus on the players a ton. But I do think that some of the positions that management is in, it's because they put themselves there. You know?
Yeah, no, go ahead. Let's bring up Kuminga. Let's keep it real. Put a rat on the table brought to you by Echo Pest Control. I'm not mad at Kuminga. I'm more disappointed than Lake up, and it could happen. But do you think people are turning on him? But this is... The cost of doing business. He thinks he's got some leverage, and maybe he doesn't, Evan. But this standstill or whatever, I get what he's doing. It doesn't make me, like, I think people are turning on JK, Warrior fans. And if he comes back, which I want him to do, I'm all in just for however long he's back because I know he can play and help.
Well, I think people are turning on him or already have because of an article like the one that you sent me last night.
Okay.
From Ron Krawczyk of the San Francisco Chronicle, wrote a piece about Kuminga and the situation, you know, had some quotes and some input from executives, and I think he also talked to Stan Van Gundy about what he felt. Van Gundy's Martinez native, local guy. And in the article, there was something that was kind of twisted a little bit about what JK thinks about himself. Speaking about comparisons.
Okay, wow.
To other people in his draft class. And in the article, it was referenced that he feels he's just as good as Scotty Barnes and Cade Cunningham. That's what you and I think a lot of people...
Yeah, I thought Kuminga said those words, and I was like, oh, man, I was disappointed.
I think a lot of people did too, but those weren't his words.
Wow.
Those were the words of an executive about... an anonymous executive about what they believe Kuminga feels about himself. And I think that's why a lot of people have turned on him, because everyone else, or the majority of people, also believe that he believes that. They believe, and there's nothing wrong with self-confidence, by the way. Self-belief is not a sin. But realism, like reality, does have to set in at some point.
Mm.
And I think a lot of people believe that Kuminga feels that he is just as good as the other players that have either been paid or been allowed to realize their potential in their respective situations for the 2021 draft class.
Wow, E. Listen, I'll say this to that. If Kuminga does feel that way, then there are as far as part as the Mojave Desert, right? From us to the Mojave Desert right now. Because, Evan, if you do come back, when you look at this, it'll all come down to three letters. Fit. He never fit in. I don't put that on all on him. He's a big part of it. I put that on Kerr. But the bottom line is, if he's having breakfast or working out and looking in the mirror, and that's his goal, Evan, he can never, ever sniff that out until Curry, Draymond, and Jimmy Butler are gone. But in the meantime, if you do come back on that 7.9, I would just tell JK, you got to maximize what you can be and what you're allowed to be in this system and try to win a chip with these guys. But when I heard that and thought that you know, that came out of his mouth, I'm like, okay, he's not coming back. But, Evan, every day I get out the sack or go to bed and there's no news, I'm telling you and anybody that'll listen, I think he's going to remain a Warrior. And I don't know what to make of this standstill, but what if I told you I put a majority of the blame at Lakeup and Company? I just do. Make up your mind. Take some pennies on the dollar. If, like, I'm going to say it. We talked about it with the boss. Do you think this Kuminga situation and Warrior fans out there is a distraction?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think it's...
Who do you blame?
I blame both.
Mm.
I blame both the player and the management. I mean, again, that's why... As we're talking about Jake Moody. If he misses kicks, like, yeah, he's at fault. I'm also going to blame the management because you didn't have a backup plan.
I get that.
You drafted this kid in the third round expecting him to be Adam Vinatieri, and... I hate to break it to you, he's not. But here's the quote that you're talking about. He apparently thinks he's at the Cade Cunningham, Scotty Barnes level. That's JK. Where he should get that type of contract. Both of those players were maxed out rookie deals, 4 years, $200+ million. One league source said of Kuminga, it's really a quandary. I think it's bad for the Warriors and bad for him, end quote. What I think would be bad for both sides is if he's on the team next year. I think it would be bad for both Jonathan, and I think it would be bad for the Warriors.
Can you break down baddie?
Bad, because Kuminga's not going to be in the situation he wants with the role that he seemingly wants to acquire. And it would be bad for the Warriors because of that word you just used. It would be a distraction. And I don't think that distractions going into a season are something that a team who has aspirations to contend for a title wants to have.
Mm.
I just don't. So to me, I think what would be bad for both sides, what would be a lose-lose, is if he's on this team next season. That's just me.
I love it. And I guess, Evan, I'm asking, what do you think of this outside of Kuminga, this Warrior culture? And this means Steph, Dre, everybody. What do you mean? Because I'm not putting my stamp of approval on that. It's your thought. Because, Evan, I feel like once the ball is tipped, Kuminga's in a Warrior uniform, you've been through 4 years of this. Why would this be any different when you know maybe you're coming to the end or not? But what scares me about what the Warriors have going on right now is, okay, you got Dre, Jimmy, and Steph. Outside of that, I believe Kuminga is the best commodity you have, even if I don't know what, you know, how best to use them. I just feel like I'd rather try to do that on the fly. I keep the Minnesota playoff series and his performance in the back of my mind. And I'm going to say this, Evan, and I could sound like a basketball idiot. Make it work. Because you can't jettison him for much. Like, you can't take pennies on the dollar. And that's what I'm fearful of. If you get something back that, forget Kuminga's future, but in the meantime, it's the microwave of improving this team. Like, I want him coming off the bench or starting. Make it work. And I feel like they could.
But do you want him coming off the bench, or do you want him to start?
I would take anything at this point. That's how desperate I am. But honestly, I'm looking at you, I want him to start.
Why? Or for who?
Because I think he's capable, and I think it makes that team better. I really do, man.
But there's no evidence of it making them better.
Well,
there's evidence of him producing when he starts and him playing well when he is in a featured role, but there's no evidence that that contributes to the Warriors being the best version of themselves.
I'll give you that, Ian. I also want to just, people are coming for me, but I'll say this to that. I told Steiny and you, I really believe had he not got hurt and missed those 31 games, Jimmy Butler wouldn't be a Warrior. That's just me, but the bottom line is he did get hurt. But damn, Evan, when you just think about the possibilities, like the basketball possibilities, like a Rubik's Cube of being proactive, if they found a way for him to fit, I mean, this dude's a stud, man. And he hasn't been that here in this uniform, but there's extenuating circumstances. And I'm just like, man, Evan, it's almost September. Bring him back. What's taking so long, E?
What's taking so
long? Yeah. If you're ready to...
They're far apart. I don't think he wants to come back. Mm. I don't think he wants to play for this team anymore. And I think they're trying to figure out how they can get something for him without taking pennies on the dollar.
And when you say it like that, Evan, I'm not saying you're alluding to this. It sounds more simple or powers to be that are smart, like I believe the Warrior brass are. Something would have been done and completed before the 15th or 17th of August. Like, why hasn't that happened? If what you're saying is if there's some merit to it, I just don't get, okay, Joe, look in the mirror and say, okay, for Evan's sake, we don't want this to be a distraction. Now, you mentioned something earlier in the green room about Durant. His greatness, that was a distraction after every game being asked where he was going. Like, that merit that. But this Kuminga thing is different, and I don't think, Evan, if he comes back and he don't talk much, like, I don't think reporters would be around his locker after every game. Hey, Kuminga, how's it going on your future? Like, I think that would almost get lost in the games.
But every single game this season is going to be a referendum of his career, his existence in Golden State, because if he's back next season, it's probably because the Warriors will try to trade him at some point. It's because he opts into the qualifying offer, and you know that he's going to walk at the end of the season anyway. So every single game... or whether it's good, whether it's bad, there's just going to be questions about this one player. And you're right, Kevin Durant, that was the case in 2019, especially after Draymond Green yapped
at
him.
But I think Draymond was irritated from the beginning that he didn't do Kyrie and say, in the preseason,
that I'm out.
Don't ask me about anything until the season's over. KD let it linger and acted like it was bothering him. But you never put it to rest of don't ask me.
But that also made sense. I mean, Kevin Durant and his future or his decision, that's a deserving distraction. Like, he's Kevin Durant.
You know who I am.
And as much as people did or didn't like him, his choice on where he was going to go in the future, like, that meant something at the time. If he had chosen to stay with Golden State, that would have kept them at a ridiculously competitive level, and he didn't want to do that. So his choice mattered. I hate to break it to people. Kuminga's choice is not even in the same plane as Kevin Durant's decision in 2019, and we're going to talk about it like it is because it's a massive distraction. Every single game, we're going to be, well, what does that say about Kuminga? What's his future here? What do you want your role to be? This is why the Warriors were dumb, and if Kuminga blossoms season, this is why the Warriors should have kept him, or this is why they should have figured it out and just paid him last summer. It's going to be about him, and I hate to break it to people. This season should not be about Jonathan Kuminga.
At this point, Evan, I guess what I'd ask is, where are you leaning? Because thus far it has been. He has personally hijacked the Warrior season, if you believe it or not. And if he has the power, if you deem he has the power to kind of be, what word am I looking for, nitpicky to drag this thing out. But at this point right now, the offseason's been all about JK.
And I would say that's a problem. Mm. Let's go to Chris, who's in San Jose. 888-957-9570. Getting in for Steinmetz with Guru. Chris, what's up, man? Good morning. How we doing?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How you guys doing? I'll try to kind of keep this brief. Couple of, points, just my perspective, right? So, if you're Jonathan Kuminga, I don't know what he's thinking, but just logically, right, outside looking in, why would he ever want to play for the Warriors? Like, why would he want to come back? I mean, this isn't this isn't, you know, you're a freshman or sophomore in high school where deep down in your heart, you know the coach has a bias against you, or you know you're doing everything that you possibly can do, but you're still not getting a fair shake relative to the seniors on the squad, right, who have been there for a year or two. So I look at a guy and I go, yeah, I'd be fed up too. You know, and you touch on this anonymous executive who said, you know, I think Kuminga thinks highly of himself. Well, A, he should, right? And B, you use an example like Scotty Barnes. What is Scotty Barnes? Do people just hear the name Scotty Barnes and go, oh, yeah, that's a player because that's what ESPN told me. He is, you know, he's 6'9", he's got size. He shoots 45%, under 30% from three, and he's on a team that wins 25 games a year. So, yeah, why shouldn't Kuminga think he's a guy? Although, you know, maybe those aren't his words. Bottom line, Steve Kerr and the organization has wildly mismanaged this kid to the point now where he's far and away the best athlete on the team. Point blank, bar none. There's no, like, arguing over that, right? And I understand in basketball or any sport, there's a certain level, like when you're a kid or growing up, you have instincts, right? Like, you know, we get that, different levels of instincts, offensively, defensively. But with that said, you also have to be given an opportunity in a fair shake to run and learn the game. And point blank, I mean, Kuminga's never been given that opportunity with us. He's always a scapegoat. He's never given a fair opportunity. And, you know, from his perspective, like I said, to start this whole thing off, why would I even want to play for the Warriors? And for people out there that think they're going to be able to trade Kuminga and just, like, what, get another 36-year-old who's what? Some other 36-year-old is going to be guarding Anthony Edwards? You know what I'm saying? So I agree with you in that respect, Goo. I'll take your guys' comments off the air, but they have wildly mismanaged Kuminga to the point where it's like, what does he owe us? He owes us nothing. Go get your bag and go get an opportunity, young man. Y'all have a good day.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah. And, Evan, I appreciate the energy and the passion. I'll just say this to you, and you're my school teacher, and you're grading my paper, and I'm turning in my homework. Do you think there's any parallels with what you talked about Jake Moody and where he was drafted that's given him a little more natural leeway as far as on the team to what I deem the biggest fan of Kuminga's in this whole thing is Joe Lacob and spending a number 7 overall pick in the draft? I believe that's what's holding this up. Lacob's the one that might be having some difficulty letting go of the guy he spent a seventh pick on in the 2021 draft.
I mean, maybe, but I also think by virtue of being the 7th overall pick and the Warriors not having a ton else in their coffers with young players, he's really their only trade chip. And if they had a couple more players that were worth something on the market that they wanted to get something back for, that, yeah, he might have been traded already. But he is one of the few things they have left to trade. Because, to the caller's point, I wouldn't say that they, you know, mismanaged him. I think there just hasn't been really a place for him, and circumstances has played out. But they also really haven't developed much else around him. Or they traded it. But this is from the latest. Again, okay. What we're talking about is the latest piece from the SF Chronicle. Ron Krawczyk spoke to a league source. He also spoke to Stan Van Gundy. Or pardon me, Jeff. Stan. Sorry, Stan. Beyond the numbers, Van Gundy wondered whether Kuminga helps his team enough in the other ways than scoring, such as passing and crashing the offensive boards. Quote, I would say Wagner is a winning player, and also Cunningham and Barnes, the two players that the league source referenced Kuminga believes he's just as good at. I'm not sure about Kuminga, Van Gundy says. I don't see the overall understanding of the game that allows him to fit among other guys and help a team play well at both ends. Fair criticism. But he's only 22 without a lot of experience, so could all of this improve? Absolutely. If you're going to have him out there, you have to play through him. To me, he's either a primary scorer on a bad team or a bench scorer on a good team. The issue becomes, and this is not Van Gundy's words, this is where I come in. I think Kuminga would rather be a good scorer on a bad team than a guy or a primary scorer, pardon me, on a bad team than a bench scorer on a good team at this stage in his career. He wants the opportunities that he hasn't gotten that other players in his draft class has. He would rather play for the Kings or the Suns, who are not good teams.
And average 25-8 or 25-7. And you put that so well. I'm keeping it real here. You can, on your birthday, you can do it. I can take it. What if I told you he's already got a ring and he wasn't a big part of that team getting a ring? Would I lose all my basketball credibility if I told you I can understand him wanting to do to average maybe 25-8, maybe make an all-star game, but be on a dump truck team? Would you look at me like, "Goo, your credibility in the game of hoop is all gone"?
No. Well,
because I think that's
your credibility doesn't go away on one take.
All right, but
now I've been a lot of takes.
Yeah, I got you. They'll talk about that. But come on, Evan, I could kind of get that.
I'm
not saying it's right, but he's got a ring. He wasn't the one, but I believe that Jonathan Kuminga, and there are more of them all throughout the league, they would say, you know what? Put me on a dump truck team, but if I put up my numbers and they're playing through me or I'm one or two, I'm sleeping good as if we won 60 games.
But isn't that kind of the issue?
Yeah.
I mean, it's – yeah, like, do you want to win or do you want to be the guy and make a lot of money?
What if I told you he's looking at it like, I got a ring, Evan. I've won. Let me experience being a one now.
I don't think he feels like he's won. I mean, how many minutes did he play in the finals?
Much of nothing, but, he celebrated.
No, he was on a championship team. Yeah. So was James Wiseman. They were on championship teams.
Oh, man.
But are they championship players? You know, that's why, like, I full stop at whatever people say about Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole contributed to a championship team.
You know I'm a fan.
He played his role throughout that entire playoff run and was what the Warriors needed. You cannot tell me that he's not a winning player because I literally saw it. I don't know if Jonathan Kuminga is a winning player
or a one. I'm here to tell you that
I could be a one. I also think a lot of players could be ones. I mean, we're talking about a few of them right now. Scottie Barnes is a one for his team. Yeah. They're not very good.
And I'll say this about Scottie Barnes. I don't give a damn what he's shooting from three. When I watch the game, I know that's a polished scorer who's a walking mismatch. They can do so many things and get to the cup, block shots, what have you. So Wagner, the same. Those two are what you see at the San Francisco airport if you got shoes. They are more polished than Jonathan Kuminga. And I'm ready to say way more polished than Kuminga. So you can hit me with what Barnes is not doing from three-point. But those two dudes are ahead of Kuminga in regard to their individual games.
I just think this is heading down the road. And it already has become one.
It might be at the end of it.
No, we're getting calls flooded in because this is a distraction. I would prefer not to enter this season. One of the last two, potentially, that you have Curry, Draymond, and Butler all aligned with Steve Kerr on with a distraction. Wow, and a distraction, by the way, that's not even starting, that is coming off the bench. All right, what's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Where do you all come down on it? 888-957-9570 is the number. Getting's in for Steinmetz with Guru. We're back after this.